Let us pray. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds so that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Listen now for the word of the Lord. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love towards the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God had put his power in the work of Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. He has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am ascending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is truly a beautiful story. If we stop to think about all that the disciples have been through with Jesus, all that Jesus has been through with the disciples, to arrive at this moment with joy in their hearts is truly a remarkable story of transformation. Just a few weeks before this happened, Jesus was being arrested, and then he was crucified, and then he died. The disciples had dispersed and then come back together, all in fear. They were hiding from authorities for fear of being arrested themselves. They were feeling the shame of having abandoned Jesus in his hour of need. They had denied Jesus. They had run away instead of coming with the rest with the women and Jesus' mother to the cross. These people grieved hard for Jesus and their role in not being there and all of the stuff, the regrets that go with it. They were feeling it. They did not understand what Jesus was talking about, not fully. And then on that Easter day, they still had struggles recognizing him. And so we have this moment, about 35, a few weeks later, and here they are, about to lose Jesus again, in a way, and yet instead of locking themselves away in fear and trembling, they are out in the open. They have joy in their hearts. They are worshiping together, not in hiding, but at the temple. So much has changed in this time because they have gone from pre-Easter people to now Easter people. They are starting to live into the miracle of Easter, and it truly is a miracle. One of the commentators that I read spoke about in this moment how we come to understand, much like the disciples did, that Jesus had to go to make room for the Holy Spirit to come and do that work, the work of what was to come. Because Jesus was this incarnated man. He was one person who could be in one place. And God's plan was for him to do this great work, to come and be the incarnational God with us. But that time had come. He had done what God needed him to do. And so it was time for him to leave, to ascend, to make way for God the Holy Spirit to come, not just be in one place, but to be in all places, in the hearts of the disciples, in the life of the church, in all of creation. And so God's next step in the plan was for this Holy Spirit to be let loose. And so rather than trying to hold on to Jesus and keep him there like Peter tried to before the crucifixion, Jesus, we're not going to let you be crucified. You stop talking like that. It's just ridiculous. They're not in that place anymore. They have come to an understanding that Jesus is not just the end of the story. Jesus is the pivotal part of the story, but there is more to come. And so what they thought was an ending was not an ending. It was part of God's story at work, God's will at work in the world. So they had something to find joy in because their fear and their grief had given way, had made room for Christ's Spirit to come. They had made room for joy and hope to come in and take over the grief and despair and fear and uncertainty and all of those things that had plagued them before. And so they have gone through this great transformation in this as the Spirit of God comes to them just a few days later and literally lights them up. And the gospel goes out to all the nations. There are times whenever this story of ascension kind of gets tucked away in our lectionary and in our identity as the church. We kind of tuck this story away a little bit and don't celebrate it like we do some of the other grand moments in Jesus' life and in the life of the church. But this story reminds us so much of who we are each day living as Easter people, living as disciples of Christ. we too have to make way for God, for what God is doing in our lives. Much like the disciples did then, they had to make room for the Spirit of God to come in and transform their understanding. They had to make room for changes of opinion. They had to make room for God's story and God's will to unfold in their lives and in the world. So they had to let go of some of the expectations they had of what God was going to do and how God was going to do it. And we too, as the church, need to remember this, that there are times whenever we want to cling to a certain moment in time, to a certain person in a moment in time, and say, this is what we are and who we are, and we can't imagine being anything different than what this person led us to be. But the reality is, we, just like those disciples, have to make room for what God is doing. There is always a next chapter, a next step. There is always something else coming because God is constantly at work in the world. And so we may want to hold desperately to a way we have done things in the past, or a person who has led us in the past, or ideals of the past that don't serve us in the present or in the future. We have to let go. Why? Not because of failure, but because God is leading us on. Because we are an Easter people and we believe that the Holy Spirit is at work within us and within the church, and we've got things to do. Not to just rest and give up. Not just think, oh my goodness, the good days have passed and we have no idea what to do with the new days that are to come, so we're just going to sit and sulk and sit in our grief and be confused and wring our hands. No. Well, there is a time for that. Let's be honest, there is a time for hand-wringing. And then there is a time to turn over that hand-wringing to God and say, okay, we are ready to make room for understanding and wisdom to come into our lives. And the way that we do that is just what we're doing here. We gather like the disciples. When they left Jesus, they did not disperse after the ascension. They stuck together. They worshiped together. They experienced joy together. They were able to be together to encourage each other and to tell each other to hang on and hold on. They were together enough so that they could still continue to build the community that Christ had begun within them. They weren't going to give up, and they weren't going to let each other give up. So they were together to worship, just like we do. Just like this morning, we are making room for God to be at work within us as we gather together to worship. And so then we are here to help one another grow in understanding. It is not the norm for a whole congregation of people to have an aha moment together. Often what happens is it's kind of like the wave in a stadium. You know, when it kind of starts, the moment of understanding kind of starts over here, and then it might come over here, and then it might, by the time it gets over here, it fizzles out. So what does this group over here do? Oh, they don't give up. They try again, and this group goes, come on, come on, come on, come on. And before you know it, we've got it going around the room. That is often how it happens in congregations, as moments of understanding, that it takes us all a while to get moving in the same direction. But because we're in this together, because we're committed to be this church together, we will get there. And so we have to be committed to being together, to grow together, which means we don't leave each other behind. We continue to work with and pray with one another so that we can grow in understanding together. And then we experience our joys together. We can understand that what we are together is worthy of joy, that fosters joy within us. If we are perfectly honest with each other, we can declare that for the last couple or 3 months, there has been moments of grief in our congregation. There are several folks who have been part of our congregation who have gotten very difficult medical diagnoses. We have all had those kicks in the gut of grief and sadness because we know that a couple of folks whom we love as our sisters and brothers in Christ are probably not going to be with us much longer. Others are undergoing treatment. It's hard. It's been hard to make those visits, to send those cards, to acknowledge that this is happening. But what we do as a congregation in those times is a reflection of the Spirit among us. We may not have joy about that at all, but what we have done as a congregation and what we try to do, sometimes we are really great at it, and sometimes we need to be reminded to do it more, though, is that we care about each other. We have sent meals. We have sent those cards. We have grieved together. We have made the visits, even when they're difficult. We have not left them alone. We have been here to say that the church is still with you. The church still loves you. And while there is not happiness in that, there is joy in the fellowship of the church. There is joy knowing that this is the family of God. And just as Christ does not abandon us, we do not abandon one another. And there is joy in that, even in very difficult times. So we make room. We make room for this understanding to grow within us, for these relationships to be grown. And whenever we are trying to understand what the Holy Spirit is moving us to do, we try to figure it out. We seek that understanding. And our session is trying to do just that because we know that God is not finished with our work in this community. And so our session is going to commit time and energy, take a weekend together and have a consultant to come in and work with us and pray with us so that we can begin building our understanding of what God is doing with us and what God is planning to do with us so that we can grow. We will bring our purpose, our sense of purpose, our resources, our hopes and dreams, and see where those things meet the needs of the community, and we will try to understand where God is leading us. Why? Because we don't always know everything, but we allow God to work within us. And they will bring us all together in that work as well. It's not just going to be the 12 and me, the 13th, trying to figure this out. We will all engage in this work together. But we begin here. We begin here, worshiping and rejoicing in what God has done through Jesus Christ. We begin here together as a faith community, ready for what God is going to do next with us, what mission and ministry we will be led into, what God will call us to do, what need will be met in the community as a result of our willingness to understand. And so, with joy and prayer and hope and togetherness, we will make room for Christ, the ascended Messiah, to work in us and through us and work the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we are not alone in our efforts, but we are empowered by the very will and Spirit of God to build up this community of faith, to share our joy, to worship with one another, to welcome in those who come through our doors and welcome those outside of these walls. We serve a risen Lord. We are an Easter people. And may this bring joy, strength, and courage to us all as we say, what is next for us, O gracious God? Lead us and guide us and give us the courage to go. Thanks be to God. Amen.